Welcome to the Zillionaire Superstars Podcast. My name is Angie Z, and I'm a master coach. If you are keen to learn the abundance secrets of the mega successful, so you can follow your dreams, you are absolutely in the right place. I am super passionate about helping entrepreneurs all around the world gain clarity and confidence to level up their mindset, health, and wealth. This podcast episode is proudly brought to you by the brand new Billionaire Coaching Program, helping you to level up your mindset, health, and wealth, creating success in every area of your life. So, let's get to it.
Thank you, Angie. Thanks for having me in this platform around the Zillionaire Superstars. This is a great platform for mindset and everything like that, so I really appreciate being on here. Thank you for the invitation.
Oh, you're most welcome. You're most welcome. So that quote I just shared with everyone, what does that actually mean to you personally?
Out there, a lot of people want to change the world. A lot of people want to have global peace and so forth and so forth. But there's an aspect where if you're not dealing with your stuff, you're going to cause more problems. And if you start to work on yourself, you transform yourself and you transform your relationships, which means you transform your family, you transform your community, and it goes on and grows bigger and bigger and bigger from there. That's where that comes from.
Amazing. And you're exactly right. So many people shy away from doing that inner work, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it really, it's a stumbling block for a lot of people because they want the quick comforts rather than go leaning into their discomforts, and they just hold themselves back from being the most successful they can be in relationships and careers and all of life.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with you. And it's not the easiest thing to confront, I've got to say as well.
Yeah, I've been through some doozies for sure. Yeah.
So tell us a little bit about how you got involved in these movements and your work generally.
Well, when I was a little kid, probably 7 or 8, I'm about 40 right now, I had this vision. I was down in a prairie lands or grass fields kind of vibe and feeling, and there was this gust of wind in my vision or like energy that just kind of encircled the globe all at this moment. I saw myself as an adult, and I was just like, oh, finally, there's peace in the world. And that's kind of what started it in terms of the direction of global peace. I did have a rough teenage life, and when I hit 18, I had a close friend of mine die, and it sent me on this kind of spiritual journey quest, kind of like, what is the purpose of life, meaning of life, on top of this vision that I had since I was a little kid. And so I've formulated a career that really has an impact in the sense of inner peace, and I've always wanted to see the transformation in the world of a sense of global peace as well.
Incredible. So tell us about some of the ways that you help to cultivate this inner peace.
Okay, so the core facet that I come from is an energy reality. Now, a lot of people or listeners out here might be like, well, what is that? Or some people may be like, oh, that's awesome. And so just give kind of a backdrop around what energy is. So you can think of someone who's trying to come up with an idea to a problem. And the better you are at interpreting the energy of the problem, the better you are at creating a solution to the particular problem at hand. It's like if there's all this conflict and tension and you're really able to kind of understand the energy of it, the emotional energy, the spiritual energy and all that kind of woohoo stuff, the better you are being able to kind of transform your life and actually manifest the things and the relationships and the career that you want.
Beautiful. And talking of manifestation, there's obviously, you know, a lot of people are perhaps not doing it in the correct way or not seeing results, you know, from their manifestations. What are some tips that you can share with entrepreneurs out there to help them manifest things quickly into their life?
Okay, so from my own life reset, I walked through a whole life reset in 2014. I'd spent about a decade building up the life I wanted. I lived in a top floor flat or condominium overlooking a wildlife sanctuary in a posh neighborhood 5 minutes from my office. I spent a decade building this out, and something underlying that was like, something's really off. And I couldn't quite figure it out, and I was like, what is this? So I actually wiped the slate clean in my life. I sat down in May and told everybody around me, okay, by the end of the summer, and that's in August here, I was going to basically, like, okay, this is what I'm doing. And so by the time August came around, I ended a 12-year relationship I was in, two successful companies I was a part of. One was a meditation healing center. One was a cutting-edge neurotech center. And just kind of wiped the slate clean. And it was a rough ride after that. And I had to figure out the process of how to manifest in a clear way, because there's all this law of attraction stuff out there. There's all this, yes. This is, you know, all that jazz, right?
Yeah.
And so what I did is I reviewed all my client files over the years and kind of case studied it with my present day clients in 2014. And there are actually six phases that people go through to have that level of manifesting and success with it and feel really, really good about it. Can I go through that?
Yeah, absolutely.
Cool. So it follows an acronym of DREAMS, DREAMS, just to make it really simple for memory purposes. Now, the first one is around the D for discovery. Now, if you have a sense that something's off or an epiphany or an aha moment, this is where you always start. Everybody starts here. If there's nothing that's an epiphany or you got to change something, there's not going to be a transformation in your life. You got to have this clarity of discovery, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the second phase is what I call the redesign phase. Now, this is where I've discovered 80% of people get stuck. And the redesign phase is like, okay, there's something off in my life. I got to do something about it. How do I actually map out my life the way I want it? And so this is where people kind of spin their wheels, get stuck in the mud, and just kind of, you know, cycle out, and then they give up, and then they go back to their life that they feel miserable in or, you know, really down and out about, and they just can't get past the redesign phase. And the key element here in the redesign phase are all your inner things come up, all the people around you doubt you, or like doubting Thomas is around you, and they just kind of, all this negativity comes in around the redesign phase.
Right.
And most people can't stand up to it. You get the inner critic, and it just eats away at you. And you need to go into the elevation phase while you're going through the redesign phase, and you need to keep your energy up. If you can't keep your energy up, and I'm not talking about staying positive. Staying positive doesn't work. And everybody tells you to stay positive. I mean, if you're pushing down all this rough stuff and discomfort, and you're like, I'm going to stay positive, you're getting stuck back in the discovery phase, because you're still not dealing with the discomfort.
Right.
And so those are like kind of the three kind of initial phases where people really get stuck, and they're like, okay. And then once they get into the elevation phase, they're like, okay, I can do this. And then they get going, and then they move into the authenticity phase. Now, this is where only about 5% of the population actually get to a genuine success or feeling like they're satisfied and accomplished in this next level. And the authenticity phase is sort of like a question of like, what's truer for me? So an example, I had a client approach me, a business coaching client, and she came to me like with help with her business. I'm struggling with my career. I don't know. I got all these staff and, you know, I got to get going. I got to get my mindset and all this stuff going. And so that was true at the beginning. That was her level of clarity at the beginning, the discovery phase. But she got clear and clear on herself and moved into, okay, what's truer? What she ended up doing is she stepped out of that entire company and actually closed it and decided she actually wanted to pivot to something else.
Right.
And that is what was truer for her.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is the riskier phase where people are like, well, I just walked away from all this stuff. I can't just redesign and do something that's more truer because, you know, their objections come up again around I don't have the money or the time to do it, right? And it's a critical juncture here, or else you're going to go back to the first phase. And this is where most people are struggling in the kind of spiritual space and the manifesting space in terms of like being able to sustain it, is being able to get clear and clear on their own truth. And that's where you've got to really deal with the inner work and really grounding it for yourself. Does that make sense?
Yes, it certainly does. And again, yeah, it's a bit of a process, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And then, so once you get past that phase, and you really do need support at this level because you've got blind spots, you've got your own, you know, childhood stuff, attachment issues, whatever kind of gets triggered here, you really do need someone to, like, mentor you or coach you past this, because it's, like, it's a tough bind. Even myself, I hire coaches for this particular piece to really, hey, here's your blind spot. You know, pay attention to this. You got to deal with this. You got to learn how to navigate with your blind spots, right?
Yes.
Cool. Now, the fifth phase is the mastery phase. Now, this is where you really step into your own and learn how to stand on your own two feet and be able to do that kind of independently. If you have family, you need to learn how to kind of be more interdependent with them and kind of co-create with the people around you. And you really need to have the right people in place in your life. Now, part of the challenge is there's all this stuff around toxic people and narcissistic kind of stuff that goes on out there.
Mm-hmm.
It's become kind of a buzzword, but there's truth to these concepts. Like, you are kind of some of the people you surround yourself with.
Yeah.
Now, myself, I have five women in my home. I've got my partner and four girls. And just all this female energy. And it's just like, whoa. And so I got to really, focus on my masculinity and keep myself grounded. And in terms of my own kind of personal life challenge, right? But there's like a sense of mastery. You got to be able to master your life. You got to be able to be clear around the people around you. And if you decide to hold on to that childhood best friend that's really toxic and there's this kind of guilt about letting it go, or even family members, right? And you got to like make that choice in terms of your direction, your purpose, your flow, your intuitive kind of capacities of like, okay, is this my life or is this the influence of the people around me's life? And you really got to step into that level of mastery in that particular phase.
Yeah, that's a really good point, actually. And I mean, you hear a lot of people talk about the importance of network and also the importance of the five people that you hang around with the most. And it is so true. And you just sometimes don't realize the influence that those closest to you have, whether it be negative or positive.
Yeah, and this is where I was talking about energy earlier. So if you've got people who are really kind of energetically toxic, like they might try to stay positive, but you look at them and they have a big smile on their face. And meanwhile, you feel like they're just like shards of glass and they're constantly poking you, but they're trying to stay positive. It's like, ouch, you're constantly interacting with that and you're having to watch yourself not being the target. And you're spending all your energetic time kind of just managing that instead of creating the life that you want, mastering the life that you want.
Yeah, exactly. And it can feel like a waste of time, but you get stuck in that mode of that familiarity and comfort that sometimes can hold people back from moving forward or for releasing those, negative or toxic relationships, whether it be family or friends, right?
Yeah, and my partner went through, we just set a boundary with her family a couple of years ago, and it's very dysfunctional family patterns, and it's been going on for, generations, and we're just kind of like, we're done with this. And there was a complete, backlash from, the entire family in terms of us wanting to be happy. It's like, it's really bizarre what it brings up for people, and that's when the mastery phase is really critical. You need to be able to stand on your own two feet regardless of what's coming at you, but you also at the same time, you can't be a jerk, right?
But I think too, Leo, sometimes it helps, particularly if you are, you do have a lot of negativity in your inner circle, so to speak. I think sometimes it helps to live in your own little world, so really compartmentalize your life in that way and just focus on what you do want, because there are plenty of people out there that have grown up, in really tough circumstances and had a lot of negative people that didn't believe in them and were able to come full circle just through their own perseverance and, will and determination to get where they want to go, right?
Totally, yeah. It's like a cocooning process.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just a lot tougher probably without that support.
Yeah, sometimes you gotta stand on your own. When I reset my life a few years ago, like the people that I thought would have been the most supportive were the people that actually ripped my life apart.
Yes.
And they took it's insane. Like I lost six digits and assets of stuff and family members and and my key word or key intention with the whole thing is okay, regardless of what's happening, I'm going to hold integrity. And is that level you're talking about perseverance, right? And so it's like you got to hold to something that's going to keep you persevering regardless of what's coming at you. And it's a tough road to hope sometimes because it's like it can be really emotionally draining to deal with all the negativity and the criticism and the the backlash is you're like wanting to be the best version of yourself. And it's a really sad commentary on the world that there are people that wounded that they want to take you down or have some backlash coming at you.
Yeah, but I think too, would you say that it's not always conscious and it's not always that they have bad intentions for you? The confronting part of it for them is that the fact that you're changing and they gain benefit from the way that you were in some way, shape or form, not in a negative sense, just in terms of relationships. And therefore, when you change, you may remove some of the benefit that they used to gain. And that's the challenge for them. That's why they like it as it is, because it works for them, not necessarily for you.
Absolutely. And I get a lot of my clientele are like empaths or highly sensitive or highly intuitive people. And what happens is empaths have this concept or this belief that they absorb stuff from people, emotions from people and energies and problems. And so when that's the common belief around empaths is that you automatically absorb stuff. And that for me is just a belief. It's not actually truth. And what happens is that because these people are so aware, they just tend to take it on and absorb it. And as you're changing and resetting your boundaries, if you will, you're releasing all that kind of stuff. And so those people that you've been taking on their emotions and their problems from for years and enabling dysfunctional behavior, they have to start dealing with it because it's going back to them, right? And so they push back and they don't want to deal with it. That's why it's in these people's spaces to begin with.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So tell us about the last step.
Okay, so the last step here is what I call spiritual freedom. And spiritual freedom is the composition of everything brought together, the previous five steps. And because you're this clear at this stage in the journey, you start to align your life with your purpose, your sense of direction, your sense of why and who you want to be in this world. And and everybody to a T will say, I want to help the world, or I want to, you know, be of service to people, or whatever piece it is. And the problem here is that most people get to the discovery phase and they want to immediately jump into the spiritual freedom phase. And they burn themselves out. They haven't done enough legwork in their own personal journey. Like, you have these weekend workshops where it's like, yeah, I'm a healer now, or I can support these people. But where's the work you've done on yourself? And so it's like you got to deal with the work in yourself to make a really sustainable difference. And any mother or father or parent will tell you if your stuff is triggered, your kids act out really, really quickly. They pick up on it. And so if you're not working your stuff and you're trying to be in this, I don't know, holier than thou or better than kind of vibe, your kids will pick up on that. And they're a really great mirror.
Oh, yes. I'm sure every parent out there listening would agree with you.
Totally.
So tell us, I love this manifesting process that you've developed. So how long would it take usually for someone to move through these six phases?
Well, if they do a go-to-loan process, it can take – most people are in the discovery phase. If they're on their own, they go through the discovery redesign phase for like a year, sometimes 2 years.
Right.
And then they decide, I'm so sick and tired of the situation that they're going to go do something about it. And then even then, it still takes kind of a year to work through the stuff if they do kind of a go-to-loan process. This is why I highly recommend finding the right mentor that's really focused on the outcome or the result that they provide. It's like, hey, I'm in this situation, and this is my problem, and you're the solution. And find that right mentor coach for that particular challenge. If you do that, a really good coach or mentor with a well-designed program or something in place should be able to get you through it in like 2 months, 3 months tops, if they're really good and really skilled at what they do.
Yeah, I think that's important to note, definitely, because people, you know, automatically assume that if I start doing these practices regularly, that it's all going to come to fruition very quickly, and they forget how much work's involved. So, Leo, tell us a little bit about meditation and which type of meditation you practice.
Well, there's no label to it, but to kind of give a label, so to speak, I call it energy-based meditation. It is more of a Western-style meditation, so it's active-based. Most meditation out there is what I call passive meditation. It's like yoga. You relax the body. you blank out your mind or clear out your mind, all that kind of stuff. Most people are familiar with that in the pretzel leg position. Now, what I focus on is an energy-based meditation, and you're learning how to manage your energy system so that you can get your energy clear and clear out all the other people's rubbish that you've picked up over the years, your own stuff that you've internalized, like negativity. Like, how do you essentially vacuum that out of your system? Not just like a blank your mind, but actually get it out of your system so you're no longer dealing with it. And it's something I did about 7 years worth of training in to be able to teach and run programs and courses and help people with. It is a very kind of extensive process, and it's okay. Very, very
My goodness, 7 years, that's impressive.
Thanks.
Amazing. So can you tell us a little bit about your success rituals?
My success rituals in terms of how I anchor my successes?
Yeah, so like, do you have a daily practice that you like that is non-negotiable, basically?
Okay, so every day I do what I call a rose reading. And so this is part of my, you know, clairvoyant practice. I do a lot of clairvoyance or visionary stuff and really see things in my mind and kind of map things out and how I see stuff. And so with regarding that piece, I do this dynamic of like, okay, what is it I'm really focused on? What internally it might be interfering with it? What externally might be interfering with it? Whether it's, you know, global war or financial economic stresses, or like in Australia, the it's setting the tone of fire right now, right?
Yes.
And it's like, how do you still co-create while there's this mass energy? That's the external pressure, the mass energy of everybody in like scarcity, fear, survival mode. It can be pretty challenging because it's easy to match the vibe of what everybody else is thinking.
That's right.
And so I do this kind of piece of like, okay, what am I really clear about and what's kind of impacting that, and then clear that out. It's about a 15-20 minute process I do every day. I do meditate every day, obviously, but that is the I will not back down on that particular piece.
When did you start meditating, Leo?
When my friend died. I was 17 at the time, so about 18 is when I started.
And so what did you notice as a result of doing the meditation, whether it be daily or ongoing?
I noticed if I skipped, my day would be really rough, or maybe a couple days.
Yep.
And I noticed if I were on track and really connecting to myself, then life goes seamlessly and in flow. Even if there are really difficult things going on, I still have a clear trajectory about what I'm doing, where I'm going.
Yes, beautifully said, beautifully said. I feel the same. Everything's so much easier if I meditate at least just, you know, 10, 15 minutes in the morning. My day is clearer. I'm super focused. I make better decisions and I just feel better. I just feel calmer and happier, you know, that inner peace that you're talking about.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So tell us, in terms of helping some of the entrepreneurs out there with their mindset and making a mindset shift, because obviously not everyone is fully engaged with, you know, yoga or meditation practices. They don't feel it's for them, or they don't know how to do it. You know, there's lots of reasons people will come up with to not do those things. So what would you say are some really important things to consider if you do want to shift your mindset and accelerate your results in life?
Okay, so the two biggest things that I've seen over the years really get in the way of mindset are what I call pictures or core pictures and programming.
Right.
And so programming is the sense of this is how things ought to be done. And so what the biggest distinction that people really need to get clear on with programming is what's their own truth and what's somebody else's stuff in terms of how I should be doing or how I should go forward.
Yep.
Now, a lot of people who have a problem that they can't solve usually go to Google or Bing or whatever, and they Google it, and it's a lot of free information, but it might be relevant to them, it might not, but most people, because they have such a big problem, they absorb that information as their own and then try to create from that particular information. And the biggest distinction is to really get clear of your own truth, and you'll feel a whole lot better because it's coming from you rather than somebody else's information. It may have worked brilliantly for someone else, but is it going to really work for you? And when it's out of congruence or integrity with what's at your core of who you want to be in the world.
Beautiful. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and you keep coming back to that point. Get clear on your truth rather than focusing on what you're being told or what, you know, programmed to think.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's the most critical, or not the most critical, but it is a key piece of the puzzle. And a lot of people who are coaches and mentors or teachers or wherever, they try to push into you how you should look at the world in the frame instead of pulling or drawing out of you who you should be or who you are at your core. Like, what is your truth? And it's like people are all in these problems of and I'll just be mindful of my language here, but it's like I'm stuck here or I'm stuck there. It doesn't matter what I do. I'm stuck. And it's like, okay, cool. What's underneath that? Instead of trying to figure out why you're stuck or what all this stuff is, what is really your truth? What do you want to do in this situation? And how do you go forward from here? Instead of just getting stuck in the dichotomy of opposites, what is it that you really, really want to do? That kind of F yeah vibe that like, yeah, this is totally, totally it. Like, do you want to really leave the relationship, stay in the relationship, blah, 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 and you go back and forth with that for like 2 years? What is your truth? What is your core truth? Do you want to really be in this relationship? Okay, commit to it then. And then make it happen and make it happy and make it awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what about the pitches aspect?
The pitches?
Didn't you say program and pitches for the mindset? There were two components?
Pictures. So pictures are like memory imprints or certain ideas of how things ought to be. So let's say an Olympian. And so the picture of an Olympian, you get up super early, 4 a.m.
Right.
You, throughout the day, you eat chicken breast and broccoli or whatever the diet is of an Olympian, right?
Yes.
And so you have these pictures. And then say you don't meet that picture. And so you beat yourself up or you take yourself down and you get into the negative headspace.
Mm-hmm.
And what's really underneath that is what I call a core picture. Now, a core picture might be your father was constantly yelling at you or telling you you're not good enough, and so you became a hardcore Olympian to prove him wrong. And so you've built an identity as this Olympian, and that's over top of I'm not good enough because you didn't want to deal with the not good enough, so you're going to make yourself better than good enough. But when you don't meet the standards you've created for yourself, you immediately trigger that core picture of I'm not good enough that comes from the father in this analogy.
Yeah.
And so that's where people really get stuck are these pictures of how they should live in life as a male, as a female, as whatever gender, as a parent, as a business person, and they operate off of these pictures. And they kind of live unconsciously in the world until crisis or drama forces them to deal with it.
Yes, yes, very true. And this, could you compare this to people doing the comparisons on social media? And that causes a lot of misery. It's a similar sort of thing.
Yep, absolutely. And every girl out there, well, the models out there, I think it's photoshopped like 5,000 times or some ridiculous thing before their photo is actually publicized. And so you get this comparison, oh, I don't look as good as that person, and, you know, why bother, right? It kind of gets triggered. Yeah.
No, very important. I love that. Yeah, valuable tips for entrepreneurs out there in terms of their mindset that definitely give a lot of people something to think about.
Cool.
So in terms of being able to shift some of that programming in the pitches, you talked a little bit about identity. How do you find that your clients are able to shift their identity? What are some of the success factors that are involved there?
Sure. I have this one client who just finished a program with me, and he was struggling with mindset. That was his kind of surface level problem. Now the unknown problem for him, and this is marketing language, known unknown problem and all that kind of stuff, and then the solution that you provide. Now the unknown problem, as we dug deeper, was a lot of negativity that he was sitting with from his childhood, specifically with his father, and his father's like really tough on him.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's Amazon kind of big guy in Amazon, and he's like, I gotta be done this. And but the negativity that was constantly underlying the feeling of you know, his mindset not good enough. What we ended up doing is removing that negativity out of his space and going forward with that. And he was able to, like, really clearly see what his next steps were, and he really pivoted in a whole different direction. He moved into an agency kind of platform and just really, like, this is what I want to do, this is my purpose, I've always wanted to do this, now I'm doing it. And there's this key kind of facet in it. Like, people believe that what's in their space is that who they should be, their behaviors or who they are, all that kind of stuff, and they get that ingrained in our culture and really enforced, and they don't believe they can shake it. It's really the first foundation in that particular piece is starting to believe that you can actually shake that and shift that sense of identity, that who you've always been.
Yes.
And really claim that new sense of power. And again, this is really where I come back to the encouragement of having a mentor or coach around, but some sort of element of support so that you are going in the right direction. Because it's a really, shifting an identity is a really tough thing to do. And I mean, I've done it a couple times. I used to go by the name of Daniel, and I grew up as Leo. And, you know, there's a few things, and that's an adoptee thing. Like an identity shift and changes, I had to really get clear on who I was or who I am. And there's like, but it's really critical that you discover who you are at your core and claim that, even if you've got all this stuff about your patterns and behaviors and the life you currently have, it isn't a match for you. You got to still claim that identity so that you can get going forward and then lean into the discomfort and get through it. Like, embrace the discomfort and the growth that you need to go through, because it'll make you a bigger, better person and part of the new identity that you're claiming.
Yeah, yeah, incredible stuff. Very powerful and life-changing, no doubt.
Yeah.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, thank you so much for your time this morning, Leo.
Thank you, Angie. It's been great. Thank you for letting me share, and thank you to all the viewers who are listening, and hopefully you guys at least get one kind of aha moment that really kind of like, oh, that's awesome, I'm going to take this and run with it.
Well, I think there's quite a bit there for people to pick up on, definitely, and work with. So thank you so much for sharing that. One last thing I'd like to ask you is, what's the best way for people to get in contact with you?
Sure, you could go to my website. Excuse me, you could go to my website, peacecompass.org. So peace is in peace, love, harmony, and compass is the north-south.org. And you can check me out there. There's a lot of different things there. I've got some kind of webinars for free classes, and you can go to my social media profiles from there if you'd like to hook me up or hook up with me on those areas as well.
Awesome. Have a fantastic day. Thanks, Leo.
Thank you, Angie. Have a beautiful day.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Zillionaire Superstars podcast. There is more to life than you think. Let me show you the possibilities. If you enjoyed this episode, please leave a review on iTunes. And for further information, visit angelinazimmerman.com. Catch you next time.